Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll speak to retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz about the Heroes of the Heartland on Fargo's WDAY radio, and Luke Heikkila from Twin Cities Public Television about Homes for Heroes. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week, our nation celebrates the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He may be remembered most for the speech he delivered from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. In that 1963 speech, Dr. King famously said, "I have a dream." Even more powerful than that iconic moment, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. was a distinguished leader. He had the courage to act on his convictions in spite of danger. He challenged the nation to live out the true meaning of its creed, that all people are created equal, and they have the right to liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. Finally, Dr. King was inclusive. He set out to bring us together, not to tear us apart. Inspired by Dr. King, the Minnesota National Guard is committed to building and sustaining an organizational climate in which people of diverse backgrounds, cultures, races, religions, and ethnicities are fully included, valued, and respected. The challenges in Minnesota will be met by the Minnesota National Guard, comprised of diverse citizen soldiers and airmen. Tomorrow, many of us in the Minnesota National Guard will join the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s breakfast in Minneapolis and celebrate his life, reflect on his dream, and remember a man who showed a nation how to lead.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz, who is also the host of Heroes of the Heartland on Fargo's WDAY radio. Sergeant Martz, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you for having me on, Tom.
Sergeant Martz, you were deployed with the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division's 1st Brigade on their last deployment from October of 2005 to July of 2007. Can you tell us a little bit about that tour?
It was long. No, it was an interesting time, able to partake in a very historic deployment as being so long.
And Sergeant Martz, how long was your military career? You retired as a master sergeant?
Yes, I was just starting my 20th year as I was medically retired from injuries I received over there. I had joined in the spring of 85 when I first got into it, and like other young lads, I grew up playing with plastic army soldiers in the sand pile and watching Vic Morrill on TV and Combat or 12 O'Clock High, all the shows. And as I got older, Vietnam was going on, and I remember sitting in my living room with my parents and the rest of the family and my brother. We're listening to the draft numbers to see if he was to go. And as I found out that all the way back to the Revolutionary War, that a member of my family had been in the service. So I learned about my grandfather, my great-grandfather in World War I, my grandfather in World War II, my dad in Korea, my cousin in Vietnam. And so it seemed like the thing to do was to join up.
We're speaking with the retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Sergeant Martz, you were also deployed in Desert Storm, but when you were in Iraq, you sustained some injuries. Can you tell us what happened?
Well, I had come in contact with a few different explosions. The first one, we came across an IED, and we corded it off, did all the proper things, got EOD up there, and went to place a charge on the explosive, and it detonated as we were trying to do that. So I was not quite at my safe distance, received a concussion, but had all my fingers and toes and figured I was okay. About 4 days later, I started having problems with my vision. While I shot left-handed and was my right eye that was affected, didn't really know what was happening to it, but I seemed to be okay. I got checked out and was okay to go back to theater. And later on, I had, in October, we found an IED. Driver Ben Anderson was spot on, found it, and we went to maneuver all the way around it to cord off the area. Well, it turned out to be a busy chain, and we set off another explosion, at which point I did get thrown pretty hard in the vehicle because I was a commander of a Bradley, and I was exposed through the top turret. My gunner and my driver, of course, buttoned up because I was the lead unit. And at that point, I sustained neck and shoulder damage, but the concussion had really knocked me for a loop. Well, we ended up catching the guys that had placed the explosive, which was strange because usually they're not, usually they're far away from that. But, and, well, I didn't know how bad I was hurt. I had, evidently, I had suffered a traumatic brain injury, but I kept trying to push through my deployment and my vision continually getting worse. And by the end of my deployment, I was just about legally blind, and it went on from there.
And so did they determine that were you blind when you were retired then, or was it a medical discharge?
Yes. When I came back, I was about down to 10% in one eye. My left eye eventually went completely black, and I had about 10% in the other eye. And so I was on the Warrior Transition Unit for a long time because they were trying to figure out what was happening to me. And we're learning so much more about traumatic brain injuries, the concussions, what happens to a person neurologically. You know, speech patterns, things like that, memory. There's so much that they've come a long way, but they're learning more and more every day.
Sergeant March, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to learn how you got involved in a radio program on Fargo's WDAY radio. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're talking with retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz, who is also the host of Heroes of the Heartland on Fargo's WDAY radio. Sergeant Martz, when you got mustered out, you're up in Moorhead now. You were telling me a story a while ago about your battalion had lost about six people, and you heard people talking about National Guard guys fighting floods. What did that do for you?
Huh. Yeah, it's quite surprising. Of course, we do deal with a lot of floods here, but when someone says, "Oh yeah, you're the guard guys, you're the guys that, you know, are on permanent flood duty all the time," I was like, "Boy, are you not informed? Sit down here and let me talk to you about what the National Guard is all about."
And how did that lead you to contact the radio station? How did Heroes from the Heartland come about?
Well, I quickly found that being new to blindness, I had, like I was saying before, the other 10% that I had left me, so now I was completely blind. And I got some training at the Blind Center in Chicago. Spent about 9 months in rehab there and learning some things. But when you get home and get discharged, the Army was such a big part of my life, and being an NCO and taking care of people was so important to me that it was that was one of the hardest days of my life, is just being retired. And it's easy to slip into sitting on the couch and, you know, what am I going to do? Do I go to school? What kind of job am I going to have? You know, just sitting on the couch is not the answer. So I had listened to a lot of radio and heard a show with the air show here in town. They were talking to a couple vets. And so I just sent out an email to the talk show host, Jay Thomas, saying, if you ever wanted to talk to a vet again, I've got some contacts and some ideas, not meaning me. And lo and behold, I've got a phone call back. I was in there. They said, hey, sounds like you're the guy to talk to, and you how about having your own show? And I had no radio experience or anything like that. Told him I was blind. He says, we've got people to push buttons for you. Just talk. And next thing I knew, I was in there talking to the WDAY people, and they hired me, and there I was.
And you were telling me a while ago you got really thrown into the fire. Was it one of your first shows? You scheduled a guest, and what happened?
Oh, I've had a whole 15 minutes of training. I showed up to the place, to the studio, to have my show, and had a guest all scheduled. And here, 10 o'clock rolls around, the news is playing. I've got 4 minutes before I'm on air, and I have no guest. And talk about being at a loss for words. I looked over at my wife and said, what am I going to do for the next 40 minutes? Well, thanks for the Army training. I was used to standing in front of the platoon talking. And after the first few oohs and ahs, well, then I was able to get on a roll and I covered the hour.
Talk about a baptism of fire, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely recon.
Recon, that's the way to put it. We're speaking with retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz, who is the host of Heroes from the Heartland on Fargo's WDAY radio on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Now, Sergeant Martz, you've been doing this for a while now. You got through that first 10 weeks, and you're still on the air. Tell us the kind of folks you're bringing on the show, and what are you trying to accomplish with it?
Taking care of soldiers, their families, still in love with my military. So I'm able to bring on not only veterans from the different campaigns, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and the current conflicts, but also education, bring on people from the VA, make sure that the veteran or the current serving soldier knows what programs are out there, attending the Yellow Ribbon meetings and being able to bring forth that information. Also community support, which is so important, because all this, as you well know, that you have to have community support to make all this happen. The families that are back here may need help, or just some place to go and to be able to talk, get information out. So some of the guests, I've had ladies on that made Quilts of Valor famous, and how they got organized to put this together and their trip down to actually hand over these quilts to the wounded soldiers. Or we've had doctors on to talk about traumatic brain injury and PTSD and make sure that people know that there's help out there. Also, like I was saying earlier, having the veterans come on to tell their stories. Unbelievable stuff. The courage and honor and their life, that you'd be standing in line at the grocery store and you don't know who you're standing next to. It's something that you won't necessarily read in a history book, but at the same time, their story is so fantastic and should be recorded.
Sergeant Martz, I'm in awe. I do a lot of research for my military show, and I have notes that I look at when we're doing the show all day long, and you're doing it up there without your sight. And, of course, you're not sitting on the couch at home. What has this done for your life since you've been on the show?
It helps me stay connected. Gives me a purpose, of course. I mean, I guess that's an easy way to say it, as a purpose, but it's more than that, because the military was my life. Even though I spent so much time in the National Guard, I was on, took advantage of the situation, the opportunity. I went to every school I could. I went here, I went there. I went on active duty all the time. Probably spent more time on active duty than just doing the, quote, flood fighting, as somebody brought up.
Master Sergeant Martz, good luck with Heroes of the Heartland. You're doing a great job up there, and I hope the show just continues to grow for you. Thanks for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Well, thank you for having me. I'd like to thank WDAY and their family for taking a chance on me, and I'd like to thank everybody for their service and the community, especially for their support of our fine men and women in the military.
Thanks, Sergeant. That was retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz, the host of Heroes for the Heartland on Fargo's WDAY radio. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and take a look at two Yellow Ribbon cities and their efforts in supporting service members and military families. For an award that recognizes only five cities around the country, Minnesota did pretty well. Just before Thanksgiving last year, Stillwater received the first annual Sea of Goodwill Award, and Hugo claimed honorable mention. The award, presented by Homeward Deployed, was created to recognize efforts by communities to mobilize support for service members and their families. The Sea of Goodwill Award panel was impressed by Stillwater's dedication and thoughtfulness for their military families. In 2011, Stillwater stood out by assisting dozens of families and mentoring other cities with their Yellow Ribbon efforts. They also coordinated many events, including an all-expenses-paid pheasant hunt for returning service members. Mike Polina, chair of the Stillwater Yellow Ribbon Network, was thrilled to hear his city had won the award. He knows there are hundreds of communities in Minnesota supporting service members. Mike was honored that Stillwater's efforts stood out enough to gain the attention of Homeward Deployed. Homeward Deployed helps military families maintain strong family bonds while they go through the development process. The Sea of Goodwill Award recognizes a model that links local resources to support service members during the transition home. Thank you, Homeward Deployed, for recognizing the efforts of Stillwater and Hugo and going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. To learn how you can get involved and support Yellow Ribbon efforts, go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next, we'll speak with Luke Heikkila from Twin Cities Public Television about Homes for Heroes. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
It's busy around the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as we gear up for the start of the 2012 state legislative session. The 2011 legislative session was a period of transition as we welcomed a new governor and many new legislative members. Now, relationships with our legislature have been established on both sides of the aisle, and we will continue to educate our state leaders on Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and how we can all continue to work together to assist Minnesota's heroes. As a country and as a state, we have made certain commitments to our veterans. It is important that we keep good on those promises. After all, the life of every single American has been affected by the service of a veteran. To stay updated on both federal and state legislative updates, during the session, visit minnesotaveteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalado. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is Luke Heikkila, producer of TPT Minnesota Productions, a lifelong Minnesotan. And Luke, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I understand you began working at Twin Cities Public Television right out of college.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be hired at TPT shortly out of college, held a job in, of all places, the accounting department for a few years. Managed to talk to enough people and convince them that, hey, you know, I did go to college for video production. Why don't you give me a chance? And worked for a few years on a nightly news program called Newsnight Minnesota. Unfortunately, that show was canceled right before 9/11. Spent a couple of years working in public relations, still focusing on video production. And in 2004, was fortunate enough to be hired back as a producer for the Minnesota channel at TPT.
Luke, I want to talk about some of the military shows that you've produced. You told me a story earlier about how you got involved in this. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, well, in 2005, 6, and 7, of course, the 1st Brigade Combat Team, the Red Bulls, the same deployment that Master Sergeant Martz, who you spoke to earlier, was on. They served a long 18 months in Iraq. And my brother-in-law was a member of that, was part of that deployment. And I was able to see really firsthand what a deployment does to a family. Each time we'd visit with family, you know, there was talk about how Matt was doing and what Matt was doing. And have you heard from Matt and what's Matt up to? It was really a case where the family focused on Matt for 18 months. And it was hard because we didn't know how he is doing. Well, towards the end of that deployment, some executives at TPT decided, you know, we need to do what we can to help reintegrate these soldiers back to, you know, Minnesota. There was a special edition of Almanac that was being tossed around, an idea that was being tossed around. The show was called Welcome Home Minnesota. We needed a staff for that program, and I raised my hand. You know, I had the personal involvement. I had the sense that this was a show that, this is a story that needed to be told. And I was excited to be able to be a part of Welcome Home Minnesota.
So you were the first volunteer?
I would say, yeah. You know, I raised my hand. I stepped forward. I volunteered to work on the program along with the production staff of Almanac and had a great time doing it.
And how long did it take you to produce Welcome Home Minnesota?
You know, studio programs like that happen relatively quickly. You know, it is a case where we probably spent a couple weeks acquiring some tape out in the field, put some packages together. Spent a few days, a week or so, on the phones lining up guests, and then the show day comes around, and it's live television. So that's sort of the beauty of it, is you cram really hard for that test. You take the test, you're doing the best you can, then at the end of the hour, it's over, and you go home. So, you know, for Welcome Home Minnesota, it's probably maybe a month total.
We're speaking with Luke Heikkila, producer of TPT Minnesota Productions, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Luke, so you did the first one, Welcome Home Minnesota, and you got hooked, didn't you?
I did. I really did. You know, to be given the opportunity to interview soldiers, to get to know soldiers, to understand their backstory, to get to know their families, it's really sort of an addicting process. The military, I've focused primarily with the Minnesota National Guard, and just the professionalism that these soldiers have when they're interviewed, they really appreciate the opportunity to tell their stories, and they really tell their stories well. So after Welcome Home Minnesota, I was able to work on a number of programs, some that dealt with traumatic brain injury associated with combat-related injuries, others with PTSD. We got to work with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on a program that really looked to highlight the services that are available to veterans. An alarming statistic was that the majority of veterans never utilize any of the services that are available to them. So that program, I set out to help cure that, help introduce the services that are available.
And then you got a chance to go back with the Red Bulls once again, and you produced Iraq and Back, Minnesota Story.
Yeah, Iraq and Back was a fantastic project and probably the project I've been most proud of up until this point in my career. I was able to, with the help of leadership at the Minnesota National Guard, I was able to select five soldiers and their families and follow them through their year-long deployment to Basra, Iraq. So I got to know five soldiers very, very well. We gave them cameras. We allowed them to tell their own story. I got to know their families very well. We gave them cameras and we encouraged them to do video diaries to really talk about what a Thanksgiving is like without your loved one, what a Christmas holiday is like without your loved one. I was fortunate enough to be able to embed with the Red Bulls and travel to Basra, Iraq myself. And that was an experience that I'll never forget.
And Luke, you've got another trip coming up, don't you?
I do. It's in my blood right now. In April of 2012, I will be embedding with the 135th Agribusiness Development Team, another group of Minnesota National Guard soldiers who are serving in southeastern Afghanistan. So I will be traveling to Afghanistan to tell the story of the work that they are doing.
So you're going to go see Colonel Alness, who we had on the show before he left.
Yeah, I'll go see Colonel Alness. In fact, I will be sending Colonel Alness a package soon. My body armor, my Kevlar helmet, I'm going to ship ahead of time. So here in the next couple of days, I'm going to send a very special package to Colonel Alness in hopes that it gets there in one piece.
Please wish him well for us. We'll be talking to him from Afghanistan soon. We're going to have to go to a break, but before that, where can we find these shows that you've produced about our Red Bulls?
You know, we at TPT are putting, we've got all of our programs on a webpage, and that web address is mnvideovault.org. And if your listeners head on over to mnvideovault.org, they'll be able to find a number of our military-related programs.
And look, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a new production called Homes for Heroes, which is about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the homes for our veterans.
All right, sounds good.
I'll take a short break. Please stay with us. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and on this segment we're speaking with Luke Heikkila, producer of TPT Minnesota Productions, and we've been talking about Welcome Home Minnesota, Iraq and Back, Minnesota Stories. He's going to go to Afghanistan soon. And if you, once again, where do they go to find those productions?
Well, thanks, Tom. They can head on, listeners can go over to mnvideovault.org, which is a webpage that TPT hosts to find those programs and more.
And you've got a new production you've been working on called Homes for Heroes. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, Homes for Heroes is a really, really nice program. I was able to work very closely with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we took a tour, essentially, of all five veterans' homes in the state of Minnesota. There's one in Hastings, Minneapolis, Silver Bay, Laverne, and Fergus Falls.
You passed the test, Luke.
Thank you. That's a big test right there. This was about a year-long production. Now, we weren't working on it solid for a year. We'd shoot for a couple days and take some time off and then set up another shoot date. But it was a lengthier production in which the Department of Veterans Affairs Communications Director Anna Long and I really spent a lot of time finding the right people to interview, finding the right residents to help tell the story of the services that the veterans' homes provide.
Luke, I'm sure you had an idea of what you were looking for and what you wanted to find. How does that compare with what you did find, and how did this turn out?
You know, I started out with the idea that it would be a tour of the veterans' homes. Pretty cut and dry. It evolved over the course of that year into something that's really much more impactful and much more powerful. We learned through talking to residents about the magnitude of the decision that residents and their families make when it comes to placement in a veteran's home, and quickly realized that it's not just veterans that deal with these sort of questions. Everyone does. At some point, many, many people are going to have to come to a decision to place a loved one in an assisted living facility. Now, if you're a veteran, you're eligible to go to a veteran's home, but if you're not, you're looking at a community nursing home. And in those cases, it's a really difficult decision to make. And we learned through residents that once that decision is made, it's really the best thing for them to be in that assisted living facility, both the spouse who is left at home and the veteran who is in the home, or I should say spouses of veterans are eligible to go to veterans' homes as well. So whether you're staying at home or whether you're going to be in a veteran's home, once that decision is made, it really turns out to be the best decision for all involved.
Luke, we're all on a journey through life, and we all go through different steps, but our veterans take time out of their life to go to war and serve our country, and we owe it to them to take care of them when they come back, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is doing a great job of that. But one of the last steps in that journey for some of these veterans are the veterans' homes, aren't they?
They are. You know, I met a Navy veteran named Gary Ron, who's a resident of the Minneapolis Veterans Home. And it's just a quick interview. We were on a tour of the veterans' home, and Gary looked interested. He looked like he had something to say. So we did a quick interview, and it was really, really impactful. Gary, in so many words, said, you know, we all know that we're in rough shape. That's why we're here. That's why we're in a veteran's home. But it's really up to us to make the most of it, make the most of our time that we have left. And all of the, whether it's staff at the veterans homes or whether it's the residents themselves, what I saw were people who appreciated what the veterans did for the country. And in turn, the residents appreciate what the staff is doing for them, whether it's through talking circles so veterans can share, can swap war stories, or whether it's outings. The veterans homes do a great job keeping residents active and busy and really, you know, living the best that they can for the remaining time that they have left.
We're speaking with Luke Heikkilä, a producer of Homes for Heroes for TPT Minnesota Productions on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk at AM 1130. Luke, you had told me a story earlier, a memorable moment about a family and the changes that affected the veteran and the family when they made the decision to go into the home.
Yeah, I met a fantastic couple in Laverne, Myra and Earl Koyman. And Earl was the resident. He was an Army veteran, and he was the resident at Laverne. And he was having, he'd been in Laverne for about 3 or 4 months by the time I caught up with him. And he was just beginning to sort of get into the swing of things, as being a resident at a veteran's home. Understandably, it's quite a transition. Earl grew up and lived in southwestern Minnesota, was used to his house. Now it's time for him to live in, you know, with a roommate. He's got a small room. He's got relatively small quarters. At this point, Laverne, they're still sharing. They still have double occupancy. I understand that they're working towards single occupancy, but yeah, it's still a transition for residents. And talking to Earl and talking to his wife, Myra, it was going well. And Myra said, Earl's happy. Earl has, he's got more energy. He's got more pep. He's got more zest. At home, he slept a lot. At home, he was bored. But here at the veterans home in Laverne, you know, I'm really seeing him, you know, come back. Talked to Earl, and he said, you know, it's fun. It's fun to be here. It's good for Myra. It's good for my wife because she doesn't need to be my primary care provider anymore. She can focus on being my wife. I see her 3 or 4 times a week. We share meals together. We walk, we talk. There's been, I was a burden on my wife, and that burden has been lifted, and she's happy.
And Luke, you had a request from the family for a copy of that video, didn't you?
I did. I found out just as the production was wrapping up that unfortunately Earl had passed away. We decided to that the show should stay as is, and that you know, everything, all the sound from Earl and Myra stayed in the show. After the show aired, I received a nice letter from Earl's family, and they requested a few copies of the DVDs around the holidays for children, for grandchildren. So, of course, we sent off a stack of DVDs. Afterwards, I get a beautiful letter back from the family saying, you know, thank you for telling this story. We got to see Dad. We got to see Grandpa. I got to share with my children what Grandpa Earl was all about. So it just really brought it home that these stories are important to tell, and I was honored to be able to tell that story.
And it was an opportunity for his grandchildren to see what he looked like and sounded like after his mom, wasn't it?
You bet, yeah.
I wish our listeners could see how much you've been smiling the whole time we've been talking. You've had a lot of fun producing these things, haven't
you? It's fantastic. I can't say the veterans community is incredible. Veterans are the type of people who don't seek out the spotlight, but when a microphone is placed in front of them, when the lights are shining on them, they don't shy away. They tell you what it means to them to be a veteran. And it's again, it's an honor to tell their stories.
And Luke, Homes for Heroes was already on, but it's going to be aired again?
Yeah, Homes for Heroes will be on again January 20th on TPTMN. You can go to tpt.org, search Homes for Heroes. You will find some broadcast times, or you can find it on mnvideovault.org.
Luke, any final thoughts for our listeners about your involvement with the Red Bulls?
You know, from a producer standpoint, from a storyteller standpoint, the ability to trust a group of people the way I trust the Red Bulls, and in turn to see how the Red Bulls trust me as a member of the media, employee of TPT, it's empowering. It's incredible. I wish everyone would have the opportunity to tell the stories of our United States military.
And thank you for telling some of them.
All right, thank you.
Luke, thanks for joining us today. This is Luke Heikkilä, producer of TPT Minnesota Productions on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Coming up next week, Thursday evening, January 19th, we'll be recording the Minnesota Military Radio Hour live from the Chanhassen American Legion from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. We invite all of you to come out and see us. My special guest for the show will be Commissioner Larry Shelledo from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And then we're going to have on Lieutenant Melanie Nelson to talk about Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org. And we'll also talk to Cherry Chung, who is one of the organizers of the Chanhassen Yellow Ribbon Network. And if we have time, we're going to take some questions from the audience. And at that recording, we have some complimentary passes for a special showing of the new movie Red Tails, which will be aired later that evening, and we'll be giving out a few passes for that. So we hope you can join us at the Chanhassen American Legion next Thursday, January 19th, from 4:30 to 5:30 for the recording of the next Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, retired Master Sergeant Eric Martz from Heroes of the Heartland in Fargo, Luke Heikla from Twin Cities Public Television, and for talking about his show, Homes for his production of Homes for Heroes, Commissioner Larry Shelledo, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we air the special show from the Chanhassen American Legion with Commissioner Larry Shelledo, and we talk to the Chanhassen Yellow Ribbon Network. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.